I'm currently an MD-PhD candidate at the University of Colorado, so I've been working with Dr. Emmy Betz's research team studying suicide for the past year. And I'll be talking to you today about our recent work looking at suicides in urban and rural communities in the United States. Before I get started, I'm going to this. Great. So first of all, our disclosures. We have no relationships to disclose. Our work was funded by the CDC via the Colorado Injury Control Research Center and by the Emergency Medical Foundation. So I'm sure I don't need to convince anyone in this room that suicide is a major public health problem in the United States. It's currently the 11th leading cause of death among all age groups, and it's been stable at that point for some time now. We know that multiple demographic and clinical factors appear to influence the risk of suicide. These include age, gender, race, chronic illness, and psychiatric history. And obviously, an understanding of the epidemiologic patterns of suicide is incredibly important for informing both public health care and clinical interventions. In addition to the aforementioned correlates, it's also been found that suicide rates are higher in rural counties, even after adjustment for age, gender, and race. And this difference can be quite substantial, going down to under 5 persons per 100,000 in urban areas of California and New York, and rising to over 80 persons per 100,000 in rural areas of Alaska. So we know suicide rates are higher in rural counties, but it's not clear whether people living in rural counties are at increased risk or if there are other differences that might explain suicide rates increasing in rural counties. Current theories center upon firearm access, access to mental health care, financial stressors, social isolation, and mental health stigma. A great deal of evidence exists currently for increased access to firearms in rural counties, explaining a large portion of the increased rates. Additionally, some studies have found that there's decreased access to mental health care in rural counties, and as such, individuals experiencing psychological distress may not be able to access the care that they need. With respect to financial stressors, poverty rates are typically higher in rural communities, and as a result, it's been postulated that some of the increased rates in rural communities are a result of this increased financial burden. With respect to social isolation, there is a theory that rural individuals are more socially isolated and as such don't have the support networks that they need. This is somewhat more contentious given that the level of anonymity in urban environments tends to be higher, but it is a popular theory. And finally, mental health stigma is thought to be higher in rural counties, so individuals that are experiencing psychiatric issues are less inclined to seek care. So in our study, we sought to describe the demographic, socioeconomic, mental health, and suicide characteristics of completed suicides in 3 different community types, characterized by level of rurality, and in turn to identify differences specifically among victims in these 3 community types. Our data comes from the National Violent Death Reporting System. This was established by the CDC in 2002. It currently includes 18 states. The years which we'll be looking at included 16 states. This includes all homicides and suicides in the participating states, and over 250 variables for each case. So it's really quite a great resource to be analyzing this question. The data that are contained are collated from a number of different sources, including death certificates and coroner, medical examiner, and law enforcement records. The majority of this data can be accessed at the website listed, and additional data is available to researchers upon request. So we've conducted a cross-sectional analysis of all suicides from 2006 to 2008, only including cases where circumstances were known. So for a significant number of cases, individuals were known to have committed suicide, but the circumstances surrounding the death were unclear and as such were coded as a case unknown. Those are not included in our analysis, although we did conduct an additional analysis including those, and it does not substantially influence the results. Decedent county type was assigned using the 2003 USDA Urban Influence Codes. We categorized individuals into urban, rural adjacent to urban, or rural non-adjacent to urban categories. The idea here being that urban proximity may influence risk or rates, and as such, categorizing it into these 3 different groups helps us analyze whether or not that may be the case. We described the suicide cases using percentages, t-tests, and chi-square to examine unadjusted associations, and in turn compared suicide cases by urban-rural category and calculated adjusted odds ratios. We decided at the start of the study to adjust all multivariate analyses for age, gender, race, and ethnicity. So from January 2006 to December 2008, there were 28,152 suicides in the 16 participating states. Of these, circumstances were known for 17,504. And the table here just shows the proportion of total suicides represented in each county type compared to the portion of the total U.S. population in each county type. So the majority of suicides were, or the majority of suicide victims, rather, were from rural county, urban counties, which reflects the fact that the majority of the U.S. population is living in urban counties. But looking at the percentages, it's clear that rural-adjacent and rural-non-adjacent victims are overrepresented as a total, or as a proportion of the total. In all categories, the majority of the victims were male. The median age was approximately 45, and the age range is comparable. And in all areas, the majority of victims were white. So before we get into the rest of the results, I'll just explain what we're looking at here. To the left, the asterisks refer to the significance level of the results. A single asterisk refers to a P level of less than 0.05, double asterisk to 0.01, and triple asterisk to 0.001. The blue bar represents the portion of total rural non-adjacent suicides for which the variable applies, and the green is such for urban. You'll notice I'm not including the rural adjacent category. This is pretty much just for ease of reading the slides, but those numbers did tend to fall between the urban and rural non-adjacent groups. And finally, on the right, we're looking at our rural non-adjacent adjusted odds ratios. So our first results are with respect to mechanism of injury. Among all groups, firearms were the most common method, but were significantly higher or more common in rural areas. And this is consistent with multiple previous studies, so I'm not going to dwell on it, but it does provide further evidence that means restriction may be an important component of suicide prevention, particularly in rural areas. So with respect to mental health characteristics, the differences between rural and urban communities were significant for all variables analyzed. Rural victims, or a lower proportion of rural victims, had a diagnosis at the time of death, were in treatment at the time of death, or had ever been in treatment previously. And this somewhat oversimplifies what's going on. This is one of the cases where we found that the rural adjacent group had comparable treatment rates to the urban group, whereas the non-adjacent group had lower treatment rates. This implies that access to care, which I mentioned previously, may be a significant factor here, but given the type of data we're using, we can't determine if that's the case. Oh, and additionally, I just want to mention, outside of the urban-rural issue, an interesting feature of this is that the treatment rates are incredibly low across all groups. So even in urban areas where access rates or access is considered to be higher, only 46% of victims had a diagnosis at the time of death, and only 33% were in treatment. So this implies that across all categories, we're experiencing a problem getting treatment to the individuals who may be at risk. For contributory factors, these issues were coded if they were considered to contribute to the decision to commit suicide. So, for example, individuals may have been having legal problems, but they're not coded as such unless they were thought to influence the decision. And I've highlighted in bold here the significant associations. And what we find is there is an increased likelihood of a physical health problem in rural communities. And this is consistent with previous research. But in contradiction to the financial theory that I put forth before, rural victims actually had a lower likelihood of having a job problem or financial problem. And it's not clear from our data whether those individuals actually were not experiencing financial issues or if there are better support systems in place in rural communities that may aid those that are experiencing financial distress. So in summary, even after adjustment for gender, age, race, and ethnicity, there were marked differences in personal, mental health, and suicide characteristics among the three groups, particularly in mental health diagnosis, current and prior treatment, method, and social stressors. There are also a number of limitations of our technique. The NBDRS has a number of missing variables. These include insurance status, which obviously influences the analysis of access to care. Additionally, we're missing variables on religion, which is thought to be a protective factor, and on income, which may clarify what's going on with the financial stress issue. Additionally, some of the variables are unverified. For example, depression. The NVDRS staff codes based on a number of different records, but does not undertake independent verification of the results. The results from the 16 participating states in the NVDRS may not be generalizable to populations in other regions or to micropopulations within any of those states. And finally, some of the variables are ambiguous. An example, again, being depression. This obviously means different things to different people, and we have no way of quantifying exactly what was reflected in that category. Despite the limitations, we can make a number of conclusions. Decedents in rural areas were more likely to use a firearm as a means of suicide. We're less likely to have financial or job problems as contributory factors. And we're less likely to have a mental health diagnosis, be in current treatment, or have been in treatment previously. Given these conclusions, there are a number of future directions that we'd like to pursue. One is the effects of urban proximity. As I mentioned, the numbers for the urban or the rural adjacent to urban category tended to fall between the urban category and the rural non-adjacent category. This implies that urban proximity has some influence over features of rural suicide. We obviously can't clarify based on this data exactly what those are, but it's certainly plausible that proximity to an urban environment allows greater access to mental care, potentially buffers the negative stigma associated with mental health issues that's thought to exist in rural communities, and perhaps buffers some of the social isolation issue that I mentioned previously. In addition, it's important to clarify whether the issue with treatment going on in rural communities is an issue of access or an issue of utilization. The fact that treatment rates in the adjacent communities were not different from the urban counterparts, whereas in the non-adjacent communities they were, implies that access is an issue. But if we look at only the depressed individuals in each of these communities, those associations become non-significant, which implies that utilization may also be a contributing factor. And finally, to the extent that those in rural environments are experiencing protective factors from financial distress, identifying what those protective factors are would help prevent the negative effects of those in urban areas as well. I'd like to thank Dr. Emmy Betts for inviting me to participate with her research team this past year, Morgan Valley for conducting all of the statistical analyses for our project, Dr. Holly Hedegaard, who's our contact at the NVDRS and aided in analysis, the University of Colorado Medical Scientist Training Program, and the University of Colorado School of Medicine. And with that, I will take any questions. Yes. We could theoretically run that analysis looking at physical health problems versus overdose rates. We haven't run that. That would theoretically clarify the issue, but outside of that, we don't really have a way of knowing whether or not the overdose was a result of self-treatment of a chronic health problem. Yes?
Did you look into, or was it looked into, whether the individual that was under psychological treatment were taking medication?
The data that we have is current mental health problem, which is defined as a diagnosis, and current treatment is then defined as either seeing a mental health professional or having a prescription for an SSRI or so on. So we don't actually have a way of differentiating between the two. The way it's coded in the NVDRS, treatment is just an overarching category. So unfortunately, this data doesn't allow for that analysis. So this is, again, one of the issues in the NVDRS. It can be from a number of different sources. So it could be an interview with a family member that's recorded in a coroner record. It could be a law enforcement record. So it's a little difficult to make definitive conclusions based on this. Additionally, we don't know how well some of these things are recorded in different community types. So for example, the financial access or the financial support system that I discussed earlier, it may be that financial stress rates are lower in rural communities just because they're not coded as well. So we always have to take that into account during the analysis.
It may also just be perception.
Mm-hmm.
Because having grown up in a rural community and moved to an urban community, I think in rural communities there's just less pressure to buy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then in urban communities there's more pressure to buy stuff.
I've actually spoken with a number of people who live in rural communities that have put that forth as a possible explanation, where poverty rates may be higher in rural communities, but individuals in rural communities feel less pressure to have a job or have things and so on. So that could certainly explain some of why it's not a contributory factor in rural areas than it is in urban areas. Yeah. So it's hard. I actually asked that same question when I saw that. And basically, this is coded based on, as I said, a number of different records. And it's kind of the call of the NBDRS coder, whether that's considered an accidental death or a suicide. But they take into account a multitude of different variables, making the decision that, in that case, a six-year-old actually did intend to harm themselves. Yeah. Yep. We do see it. It's very sad. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. That last one was referencing the age range of victims, which went down to as low as 6 in the urban area. Yes? Okay, so with respect to the interaction of different variables, we can look at that in that we have each of those 250 variables that I referenced. We have that data for individuals, so we could theoretically look at whether individuals with a particular financial stressor also had a job stressor, or individuals who had a mental health diagnosis also had prior treatment, and so on. So all of those comparable variables can definitely be looked at, and we've run some of those analyses. With respect to stigma, this definitely is not the data set that we would want to use to look at that. And it's hard because that's a lot of perception. Ideally, I think it would be involving patients who are at risk, who are experiencing ideation, and interviews with them and with family members and the communities, determining what the overall level of stigma is and what the patient's kind of perceived stigma is. Because frequently, it might not actually be that there is a great deal of stigma in the group, but there's a level of embarrassment that's kind of self-imposed. So it would be a much more, community-oriented analysis, whereas with a large data set like this, we really have no way of knowing what kind of attitude they were experiencing. So I guess that's our answer. Yes?
I'm wondering if any of the data exposed family members linked with the current person committing suicide, if they had any family members, prior family members that had committed suicide. And also, if there was some form of copycat syndrome that was also came to the surface, where high school kids commit suicide, their friends commit suicide, and so on.
Okay.
Did that come out with the data that was collected?
Okay, so the question relates to family members of individuals who have committed suicide and whether there are records of mental illness, I assume, and also suicide in the family, and additionally whether some of these suicides may be copycat phenomena among high school students and other members of the community. And unfortunately, we don't have data on whether family members were experiencing mental health problems, but we do know that in the rural areas, Victims were more likely to have had a friend or family member commit suicide within the previous 5 years. But that's really the best variable we have to analyze that. And we can't really look at copycat phenomena. We could theoretically look at the timing of different deaths in different counties and figure out if there are hotspots where multiple suicides occurred over the same period. But outside of that, we really don't have good data on it. Yes?
So I think it's, I urge people to start thinking of suicide not only as something that follows a very linear trajectory, but think of it as other ways too. There are other trajectories to go from the exposure to that stressor to, or that crisis, life crisis, directly to the fatal suicide attempt.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Our data actually showed that individuals in rural areas were less likely to have a previous attempt at a very significant level. And surrounding the issue of firearm access, that is currently in discussion. The idea being that impulsivity may be a contributing factor, and individuals who have access to more lethal means are therefore more successful. So individuals in rural communities that have better access to firearms who impulsively make that decision will be more successful than urban counterparts. Any other questions? Great. Well, thank you very much for your time.